Coming up on the Retirement Pathfinder today, we have a mailbag. We got four great questions, and we'll cover some great topics like retirement dates, also RMDs, Social Security, some really key financial questions and topics that we talk about all the time, but so important to you. So stay tuned.
In order to retire successfully, you'll need vision. You'll also need a plan to execute that vision. Welcome to Retirement Pathfinder with Barbara Lane and Phil Gusky. On today's show, we'll give you the tools you need to navigate unique challenges you'll face in retirement. It's time to chart your financial future. Retirement Pathfinder starts now.
Welcome in. Glad to have you on the Retirement Pathfinder. I've been George with Barbara Lane and Phil Gusky over at Pathfinder Wealth Management. Barbara and Phil, how are you today?
We're doing great, Ben.
Yes, we're doing great. How are you doing? Good. Ben, you just got back from vacation, didn't you?
I had a one-day trip down to Augusta for the Masters. I spent Tuesday one of the practice rounds out there with some friends, my wife and some friends, and had a great day. But we actually are preparing to go to Disney next week. So it's a busy week and a half. We're taking our kids down there, my daughter, for the first time, 4 years old. So it's going to be a lot of work for us, but I know she's going to love it.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, Ben, do I dare ask what the tickets are per day? What do they charge per day nowadays?
The good news is we still have a lot of friends at ESPN where we used to work. And one of the best benefits at ESPN for employees, because they're owned by Disney, is you get a Silver Pass, which gets you and four people in any time for free at any park. But then
when are we going, Barb? When are we going?
But then also they typically give you like four, six, eight passes, like one-day passes that you could use. So we are able to get a handful of those for some friends that weren't going to use them because they expire at some point. So some extra ones that they weren't using. So they were only paying for a couple, maybe a day potentially. So I don't know. It's a couple $100 per ticket. It's expensive, but we've had some discounts and stuff. So it's going to be fairly manageable. I guess as affordable as it could be at Disney.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, they're great memory makers. We took our kids there when they were little kids, 8 and 10. They still remember the fun they had there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait. I know she's going to love it. And she's already excited. I told her just a few days back, and she's pretty thrilled. So it'll be a lot of carrying and pushing and that sort of thing, but it's all worth it.
It's a good memory. Done.
Yeah, absolutely. So it should be a lot of fun. All right. Well, we have a good mailbag edition of the show today to get into with you guys. And I got four good questions we're going to jump into. Before we do, though, let me remind you, you can always get in touch with Barbara and Phil. If you want to talk with them directly, the best way to do that is through PathfinderChat.com. Log on. You'll be able to pick a time off Barbara and Phil's calendar that aligns with yours. Then go ahead and schedule that, and you'll be good to go to talk with them. But if you want to call directly, you can always do that as well at 815-399-9806. All right, four questions today. Let's start off with one from Nina, who says, I'm in my 70s, and it doesn't seem that I'll be needing any of the money in my IRA, although I do have to take RMDs each year. I know that it breaks all the rules for someone in their 70s to be an aggressive investor, but since I don't need the money, it's okay if I'm aggressive, right?
Well, Nina, that would be a hard question to answer with just one word. I'd have a number of questions. One is, are you married? And how is your health? How do you want the funds to be distributed on death? And I can think of only one client that is 70 plus that is an aggressive investor, and the money is for their grandchild or their great grandchild. And have you always been an aggressive investor, or is this something that you're considering just now? That was unclear. You are correct in assuming that most people are in something less aggressive at age 70 or older. Will your life be affected by a down market? Have you been in a down market like 2008? 2008, an aggressive investor would have been down to at least 40%, very close to 40%. And how did you feel? Lastly, if your income, and that's the key word is income in retirement, if your income isn't affected by a down market as an aggressive investor, you may be fine. The main objective in retirement is providing income. And we don't know if you have a pension, if you have Social Security, if you're withdrawing beyond your RMDs, and it sounds like you're not or you won't be. Are you working with a qualified retirement planner? Because aggressive to you may mean something totally different to us. In other words, stock picking, market timing, track record investing are aggressive ways to invest your money and not something we'd recommend. But a well-diversified portfolio that is considered aggressive, it may be okay. Give us a call at 815-399-9806 or reach out to us at pathfinderchat.com to schedule a 15-minute phone call. We'd love to talk to you.
Yeah, Barb, you make a good point about understanding the definition of the term aggressive. Okay, what's an aggressive investor? What's a conservative investor? And what you'll find out is, as we have, is that the client has an absolutely different definition than we do, because we take an academic approach to it as we measure risk. Somebody who thinks they're aggressive may think that, you know, if they have any stock at all or they're in the market at all, they're an aggressive investor.
Yeah, and they're risking everything.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we have to clearly define the terms that we're using here.
Yeah, with a lot of these questions, we can give some kind of general guidance. I know you two can, but to really get into the situation, we'll need further detail. So always follow up, Nina. Again, answer some of those questions and get a true answer and a true look at your situation from Barbara and Philly. And you can do that by logging on pathfinderchat.com.
Hey there, just a quick break from the podcast for a moment to tell you how Barb and Phil are assisting clients every day in the office with some effective tax savings opportunities under the latest Secure Act 2.0 legislation. If you want to find out how much you could save, give them a call and schedule a free 15-minute initial consultation. Call 815-399-9806 or go to pathfinderchat.com. That's pathfinderchat.com, and schedule your visit with just a few clicks. We'll also put the contact info in this episode's show notes. Now, back to the show.
All right, what about Tony's question here? It says, as a pastor, I have the opportunity to opt out of Social Security. Is this something that I should consider?
Pastor Tony, hey, I really have it. I'm near and dear to men of the cloth, you know, and they're very influential and often don't get the kind of training they need in the seminaries to take care of their personal finances. And many churchgoers, Ben, don't know that their pastor is not technically an employee, according to the IRS. This is really strange. They're kind of in a dual role. They are considered self-employed by the IRS, and they must pay both sides of the Social Security tax. So they have to pay 7.65 for Social Security and Medicare for their personal side, and they also have to pay 7.65 from the employer's standpoint, which really is a whopping 15.3%. Their church is allowed to reimburse the pastor for the employer portion. That doesn't always happen, but if they do, that's also included as income for tax purposes. So they're kind of getting hit twice on that. Well, the interesting thing is that the IRS allows pastors to opt out of paying for Social Security tax, provided they meet some very restrictive requirements for opting out, and that's by filing what they call a Form 4361. And that form basically says that they have to basically attest that they are conscientiously opposed to, or because of religious principles, are opposed to any public insurance that makes payments in the event of death, disability, old age, or retirement, or makes payments toward the cost of medical care. So they're virtually on their own. They get to be 65. They don't have any Medicare if they opt out. So once the minister is approved, it's an irrevocable action. And except for two times in history, they're not allowed to enter or re-enter the Social Security system. So there was two periods of time when they were allowed to do that, but not anymore. So to use a biblical phrase, it's very tempting to consider. And there are numerous schools of thought on this. Our friend Dave Ramsey says on his website that if he were a full-time minister, he would opt out of Social Security in a nanosecond. And he says, because sending money to the Social Security office is a bad way to manage your money for God. I'm not so sure if I would agree 100% with that. Of course, once you opt out, it's with the intention of providing these benefits on your very own. You have to come out, dig down in pocket, and provide for these benefits yourself. It wasn't, I wasn't able to find any documentation, Barb, verifying the numbers of ministers who fall short in this area. But I do have some personal experience with some really sad cases where pastors really didn't have the discipline or the resources to provide retirement funds or even medical insurance when they left the ministry. They realized they were far short of where they needed to be, and they had to go back out in the secular workforce later in life to try to provide for some of these. So I would encourage Pastor Tony to explore the possibilities of opting out, but to use another biblical phrase, count the cost, as mentioned in Luke 14:28, that you have planned enough to complete the job. That's biblical instruction. So if Tony or other ministers out there have questions about this topic of opting out of Social Security, please give us a call at 399-9806 or go to pathfinderchat.com to get on our schedule and have some questions answered.
Yeah, I wonder too, you know, what the success rate is for that do this, you know, because you have to really, you create your own retirement accounts, you have to be diligent in saving for that retirement. You know, you have to, I would say two things that they would need to have is life insurance and disability.
At a minimum.
Because, yeah, I mean, and if you have kids younger than 18, they're not going to receive a Social Security check if something happened to you. But there's no supplemental SS either. So it's, you know, they have to have some things in place, I would think, in order to do that.
Well, you know, there's an old saying, it's kind of derogatory, but, you know, if we'll keep them poor if you keep them humble, God. You know, it's one of those kind of things where, you know, pastors are not highly compensated, at least the ones that I know. There are some that are pretty wealthy, but in those mega churches. But quite frankly, you know, you've got to be disciplined if you're going to do this route. And I haven't found too many people that have done it very successfully. And I think that's why most opt to stay in Social Security.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of wish we had the option. I know it would definitely not be for everyone, as you pointed out, a lot of the problems. And if people aren't responsible enough to manage their money, you want that kind of added layer of protection. But I know some people would probably enjoy the option to opt out of Social Security and invest that money on their own.
Oh, yeah, Ben. Yeah. Well, yeah. All you need is a financial calculator to figure out how much money you placed into the system. And if take and invest that at 3 to 5%.
Plus, if you're self-employed, you got about 15.3.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to stop. I got to stop thinking about it. It'll frustrate me probably. So
yeah.
Let's get on to our next question. Again, if you have anything on your mind, pathfinderchat.com, schedule a meeting with Barbara and Phil by logging on pathfinderchat.com. All right, David's next up and says, I'm not planning on dying anytime soon, but my wife is 9 years younger than me, and I want to be sure that she's taken care of when I'm gone. Should I take out a big life insurance policy on myself?
Well, speaking of life insurance, the short question, Dave, is it depends. So what is your age and are you still working? And your spouse's age? Do you have at-home kids? When you have a spouse that's 9 years younger, it may make sense and it may not. I have a client in that scenario, and he felt that with the value of his IRA account, he didn't feel it was necessary, which I agreed with. So that's one consideration, is what is the value of your retirement accounts? And what is the state of your health for both you and your spouse? Do you have long-term care? Do you and her have Social Security benefits or a pension? Social Security may also be a consideration to wait if you're the higher earner, depending on who the higher earner is. I also had another client that ran the numbers for the premium and the insurance cost and calculated that out, compared that to a diversified portfolio compounding, and just didn't see the value. Remember, life insurance is a better investment if you die too young or soon after policy issue. But lastly, life insurance is a good tool for estate planning with large estates that face an estate tax problem. Right now, that exemption is about $12.9 million per person. That could change in 2025. But Dave, it's a good question and many things to consider. So how about if you get on our calendar and we'll discuss some options with you? And that's at pathfinderchat.com. Schedule a 15-minute phone call. As I said, I have a couple of clients where the same situation applied, and we can discuss those options.
Yeah, one of the things that come to mind here, Barb, is with regard to pensions. And, you know, if you pick a pension option that pays the highest amount, usually it's what they call basically a life-only option. And so once you die, there's nothing given to the spouse or any heirs at that point. And that's where life insurance could come in as a really good fill point, because we call it pension max.
Right.
And so it gives the retiree the maximum amount of pension, and also gives the spouse a residual amount after the main pensioner is gone. And so I think that's an option.
Yeah, you true. That's a good one too. If provided that 401k owner is healthy too.
That's true. Right. There's a lot of considerations.
This is one of those things, so that, you know, anyone that you're working with, these are the kind of discussions you're having routinely, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. This is something that, you know, we're always, of course, when we talk to pre-retirees, we want to make sure that they understand completely, you know, if they do have a pension, what those particular choices are, because once you make the choices, they're irrevocable. You know, you can't change them.
Yeah, they're all different. Some pensions, it's only going to pay out to your spouse. Some, depending on when you pass away, it could be something going to your kids. Some have a couple, three choices maybe for payouts. Others, you can get a whole page of payouts. So you have to look at those options.
It's confusing to a lot of people. Yeah.
You know the stock market is unpredictable, but did you know that that volatility can wreak havoc on your retirement savings if you're not prepared? Don't leave your future to chance. Let Pathfinder Wealth Management help you navigate these turbulent waters. With over 70 years of combined experience and a fiduciary responsibility since 1996, they have the expertise to guide you through market ups and downs. Barbara Lane and Phil Gusky are dedicated to educating clients and empowering you to make informed decisions. To get in touch, book a 15-minute chat with them today by visiting pathfinderchat.com and take control of your retirement plan. Don't let market volatility derail your future. Visit pathfinderchat.com or visit the link in the description of today's show.
All right, last question for today's episode comes in from Randall, who says, I haven't decided on a specific retirement date yet, but hopefully it will be sometime in the next 4 years. With all the recent market volatility, should I just go ahead and move my retirement savings to cash until everything blows over?
Yeah, Randall's question doesn't take us by surprise. You know, besides market volatility, you know, investors are worried about inflation, the national debt, you know, the border crisis, crime in our cities, and the upcoming election. So there is no shortage of what we call perma bears in the media with their concocted, what I call apocalypse du jour scenarios. Yeah. Easy for you to say, right, Barb? Apocalypse du jour.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah. Crisis right now, today scenarios. And those particular scenarios are for sure a way to help destroy the peace of mind of investors. I like what our friend David Bahnsen says in his book, The Case for Dividend Growth. He says, the doomsayers do not come from an outlook one that has one of capital markets, but rather from one of two things. So we're talking about doomsayers here. Number one, a crass and exploitive desire to monetize upon people's fears. Yeah. They use fear-mongering to generate subscriptions and advertising revenues, you know, and so they're going to really beat the drum. Worst case scenario, you better prepare because this is going to happen, right? Or number two, a sincere but sad view of reality that is conspiratorial. A lot of conspiratorial people out there, not rooted in history and driven more by what it wants to happen than what it believes will happen, you know? So you got to be careful of these people out there, Randall, because you don't turn on the TV and get good news. That's just not part of the whole scenario here. So we would advise Randall to close out his long positions only if he has some kind of anticipated short-term need. Otherwise, we advise him, as well as our other listeners, to remain fully invested for the following five reasons. Number one, avoid the danger of trying to time the market. And this is a bad one, Barb. You know, people think that they're smart enough to know when to get out and know when to get in. They've got to be right twice, yeah. Right? And so in your mindset, when you get that done successfully, let's say you're really lucky, you get out at the right time, you get in at the right time, it develops a mindset where you repeat this over and over and over again. And that's one of the reasons the average investor makes about 2.9% over the last 20 years versus 7.5% in the market, according to Dalbar. You know, real low, yeah, because they're jumping in and out, in and out, in and out. They're fearful. Number two, continue to build more shares to create wealth-producing dividends in the years to come. Remember, your job as an investor is to accumulate more shares. Those shares are actual ownership of companies, right? They're not, you know, it's not gambling. It's not pie in the sky. Those are real ownership shares. Number three, understand that market volatility is a fact of life and rewards patience. So get this now. Over the past 5 years, the market has produced 9.8% above, in other words, net of inflation, 9.85%.
Even in high inflation rate, yep. Recently.
Above inflation. And that includes the most recent years of high inflation, right? Number four, companies are not countries. Let me say that again. Companies are not countries. You are investing in companies run by smart, savvy people whose job it is to maximize profits for its shareholders. Otherwise, what happens to them? They get fired. Yep. It's not like the government, right? They don't have tenure. There's no tenure for incompetent CEOs out there. Number five, companies worldwide are making greater profits than ever. Do you know that we're in the greatest money-making time in world history right now? Companies are making money hand over fist. Markets are open. You know, free markets are thriving out here. As proof, let's talk about those dividends we mentioned earlier. Dividends in the S&P 500 have increased an average of 7.28% over the past 10 years. That means they doubled. So if you got dividends from your portfolio of $10,000, right, 10 years ago, today, it's a pay raise. You've hit pay dirt because you've got $20,192 of dividends. That's just in 10 years. And that doesn't even include
the gain.
The capital gain, the share increase price of the shares themselves. So if any of our listeners are jittery about markets, give us a call. We may be able to help you prevent you from making some kind of fatal financial decision down the road.
It might feel good, you know, Phil, mentally to avoid short-term volatility, but it's never good in the long term.
Right.
If you cash out. If you sold out, then you're selling low because the reason you're doing it is because you're seeing the market drop down. So that means you bought high, you're selling low. And if you cash out, it's the worst investment strategy. You know, wait for the markets to settle and rebalance, and having a well-diversified portfolio is the answer.
Well, yeah, we say no panic, no sell. No sell, no lose.
Yeah, that's right.
There
you go. Just a paper.
Simple as that, really. Well, yeah. Again, we appreciate all these questions. They're very useful. I know that there are a lot of people that can relate or might run into similar scenarios that they need help with. And as always, the best way to get help is to rely on someone that does this all the time. Barbara and Phil, retirement income planning specialist at Pathfinder Wealth Management there in Rockford, and be happy to help you out. If you have questions, you can call 815-399-9806, or even easier, log on pathfinderchat.com. Pathfinderchat.com. You can go ahead and schedule a meeting, a time that works for your calendar and theirs as well. Get it scheduled and booked, and you'll be good to go. So some very good questions. Barbara and Phil, thanks for providing your insight and your perspective and helping us kind of get a better understanding of how you approach each of these issues. And I'm sure we'll do it again soon.
Yeah. Thank you, listeners.
Well, thank you for listening to the Retirement Pathfinder. Glad to have you here on the show. Please hit subscribe. We'll talk to you again soon.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute tax, investment, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action.